Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2 is where I want to start here tonight. I had received the word yesterday that there had been a terrible murder in our community that took place. I'm not sure if it was Monday evening or maybe Wednesday morning. I can't remember when it took place. But it's right down here in these plantation apartments just below the church. And our bus routes from time to time, our buses have gone in there. And I know that Aaron and Jackie have gone into that plantation apartment complex a lot of different times. And I've been down there many, many times, talking to people, inviting people to church. And I don't know if, do we bring anybody right now from plantation? Well, I'll talk to you after the service because you may know about this family and know what they have gone through. But a young mother, 25 years old, was murdered by her boyfriend. You probably saw this in the news. And but it's really been troubling to me that someone, these young adults would be so close within our reach, and maybe we even knocked on their door and invited them to church. I don't know, but that there would be such a tragedy so close to us. But this is becoming more and more too common in our community. It's happening more and more. Some of it, this was a drug-related situation. A mother took her boyfriend's money to buy some food for her children. She has, I think it was either four or five little kids. And he was out of his head, on drugs, enraged, and murdered her. Unbelievable that such terrible things can happen. But what's really been on my mind today is the fact that people like that are within our reach. And have we gotten too late? Have we missed an opportunity? We haven't gone when we could, or if we hadn't, did we fail in some way? And I think that we're not, we can't reach everyone, we can't win everyone, but I think that when we think of the sphere of our responsibility, we have to realize that the community at large is our field. It's our mission field. And it is our world. We're to go into all the world, and it starts right here within our reach. And if it's just a few hundred yards down the street from our church, to me, that's troubling that something so horrible could happen. But I wanted to present that to you tonight and ask that you would pray the Lord would just help us to be led of the Spirit and to be willing to go to people in their need. And I tell you, I really admire Harry Ormsby. I spoke to him this morning, and as soon as he heard what had happened, him and Evelyn were down there walking around in that apartment area, praying for those families and people that knew what was going on. And they just went immediately down there to that area to help them and to pray for them. With all that, I feel like that we should take it to heart and realize these people are within our reach, and we don't want to get to them too late, and we don't want to allow all of the things that we seem to think is more important to cause us to forsake our responsibility to people that are really in trouble. And my, there's people in trouble in our community. Chapter 6, 2 Corinthians, verses 1 and 2. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now I believe according to this text that the apostle is describing the fact that we are to work cooperatively to reach people in time. In time. There have been those who have been reached just in the nick of time. I've known of people who have died and just give their heart to the Lord in some of their last breaths before they passed into eternity. Just barely in the nick of time. There was a preacher there, or there was a Christian there, or someone there that could give them a witness and to encourage them to call upon the Lord. God is rich in mercy. He is rich in mercy. And we have not received the grace of God in vain, but we have received His grace so that we can give it. We can be dispensers of it. We can share it with those that are in need. Some years ago, actually it was 1982, there was a songwriter who by the name of Keith Green. Some of you heard of Keith Green. And actually, he got saved in the late 70s in kind of the Jesus movement out there in California. But then somehow he got hooked up with Leonard Ravenhill in Texas. And Leonard Ravenhill directed his life and his ministry, and he became a very, very serious person about the things of God. He died in a plane crash when he was just 28 years old, 2 years older than me. Died with two of his little children on the plane with him. It's a tragic thing. But many of the songs that he wrote really were pointed. I mean, they really spoke not only to that time and that generation, but they're still really powerful today. And I just want to read some of the lyrics of this song. It's called Asleep in the Light. Asleep in the Light. Do you see? Do you see all the people sinking down? Don't you care? Don't you care? Are you going to let them drown? How can you be so numb not to care if they come? You close your eyes and pretend the job's done. Oh, bless me, Lord. Bless me, Lord. You know how it's all I ever hear. No one aches, no one hurts, no one ever sheds one tear. But he cries, he weeps, he bleeds, and he cares for your needs. And you just lay back and keep soaking it in. Oh, can't you see? It's such sin. Pretty pointed. You can tell he was hanging around with Leonard Ravenhill. But he was telling people of the seriousness of going to sleep when there is an opportunity, when you could serve God, when you could be used of God to give the gospel and to be used of the Lord to influence people. And I won't read all the words to that song, but it's very easy to kind of become spiritually asleep and not notice, not be in tune with what's going on. And I think, Lord, help us to be awake, because we're blessed to live in a good place, in a good community, in a good region here of the country. We're blessed, but we also have a responsibility to the people that live in this community. We have a responsibility to those that we come in contact with to reach them and to encourage them in the things of the Lord. We have not received this gospel in vain, but instead we've received it in a time accepted, in the day of salvation, in an accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Timing is important. This is the day of salvation. And for this young lady that went out into eternity a couple of days ago in such a horrible, horrible death, that was the end of her opportunity. Her times are gone. And I just pray and hope that before she was attacked, or even maybe during that time, that she knew enough to call upon the Lord. I don't know anything about her. Maybe she knew the Lord. I really don't know. I just know that the end of her life, just a young mother, 25, 26 years old, it tragically came to an end, and her opportunities now are over. Over. And I don't know how many people out here within our reach that may be in similar type circumstances. And with the crime and the drugs and all that's going on that's so out of control, people are in need. And it's a greater need than you and I can even comprehend, that people are on the edge of eternity. They don't even know how close that they are. And we don't want to do anything that would stop or hinder the work of the gospel from going forth. Not one thing. The next verse here says, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, that we not do anything in the work that we are called to do, that in any way we would ever have blood on our hands because someone did not find the Lord Jesus. Someone did not hear the message of Jesus Christ. What a call, what a responsibility that we have. And really, a lot of it has to do with our awareness. What we're aware of, what is going on, because you know we don't pay a lot of attention. Brother James was just telling me that, you know, he's finished all of his work, this paramedic testing and all this that he's had to do, except for the 500 hours that he has to spend in an ambulance going out, and he's been doing that as much as he can through the week and in the evenings to get his 500 hours in. And he said to me today, he said, it's just mind-boggling, the problems and the needs that people have. It's so overwhelming, the needs that people have. Maybe it's fitting that even right now you can hear the emergency vehicles that are passing by, or I don't know what's going on, but I do know this, that we're in a real crisis in our country and right here in our own community. And a lot of people are lost, and they're right on the edge of eternity. And you and I, we don't want to be asleep, but we want to be used of God. We want to be used of the Lord. We don't want to give any offense. We don't want to give any reason why that someone would reject the gospel. But we want to be used of the Lord. We want to be caring and loving and full of mercy and extending ourselves to them and speaking the words of truth, giving them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and be aware of the lostness of people that are all around us, and they are in their need, and we may be their only hope. We may be the ones that God wants to use. You know, Isaiah had a real awakening experience, and you're familiar with Isaiah chapter 6 and the experience that he had and that vision that he had. Isaiah chapter 6, if you want to look there with me for just a few minutes before we finish up here tonight. Isaiah chapter 6. This was a crisis time, and it starts off with in the year King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. Oh, I think a lot of times we run right through that verse and we don't think about what's going on, but this is a time of a national calamity. The king has died, and he's died of leprosy, and he's died under this terrible circumstances of his pride being lifted up in his pride. But the wonderful thing about this verse here is that it was in the year that King Uzziah died that Isaiah had a vision of the Lord. And I think that it should remind us of the fact that no matter how troublesome or how dark the times might be, and even nationally here in our country, as difficult as things are right now in our nation, but the Bible says that Isaiah had a vision of the Lord right in the middle of all of that calamity and trouble and the heartbreak of a nation that's mourning over their king and how bad of a time that it was. But Isaiah said, it was in that time that I saw the Lord. I had a vision of the Lord in the middle of my calamity and my trouble. So I think we should be reminded of the fact that things are bad and they are dark all around us, spiritually speaking. Things are really, really such a great need all around us. But right in the middle of all that, Isaiah saw the Lord, and you can see the Lord too. You can have a vision of the Lord in the midst of your trouble and your grief or whatever circumstance that you're up against, that the Lord can reveal himself to you. Amen. And that's what he did for Isaiah. And he revealed himself to Isaiah for a purpose. You know, Isaiah was like a lot of other people in the scripture who were called of God, but they were reluctant to fill their call. Isaiah didn't want to do it. He didn't feel like he was qualified when he was called to be a prophet of the Lord. Abraham didn't want to do it. He didn't want to fulfill it. He didn't feel like that he could fulfill the task that was before him. Moses didn't want to do it. He said, I can't even talk plain. I can't do this job. Jeremiah, he didn't want to do it. He thought he was too young. I can't do this job. And they all, you know, threw out their excuses that revealed their weakness in their flesh and their own need. But notice that Isaiah, that he saw the Lord, and this vision of the Lord changed him. When he saw the Lord and experienced this vision in this dark time, it caused him to be able to see the possibilities and how God can work and could work in his life. He said in verse 5, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone. You see, he was feeling this overwhelming need. When he saw the Lord and he was comparing himself compared to this vision of the Lord, he just thought, woe is me, I'm unclean, I can't do this job. I'm unworthy to do this job. A lot of people don't want to fulfill the task of ministry or being an evangelist or reaching out to those that are in need because they just say, I can't do that job. I'm not qualified. I just don't have the ability to do it. But you'll notice here in this text that not only did he say, woe is me, I'm undone, I cannot do it. But there was something that happened to him in this vision. This was a real experience that he had with the Lord. And it says in verse 6, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched my lips, and thy iniquities is taken away, and thy sin purged. So he admitted, I'm not worthy, and I can't do this task. But then the angel of the Lord comes and purges his lips and changes him and gives him the ability and gives him the courage to go and to do what he was called to do. The touch of God, that fire from the altar is what equipped him to do what before he was saying, I can't do this. I'm unholy. I'm unqualified. I cannot do this job. But his mouth, his lips, his tongue touched with the fire from the altar caused him to realize that he surely could do by the power of God's Spirit. In verse 8, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Amen. So he changed from the backward, unqualified, unwilling person to someone who's saying, okay, Lord, I'll go. Okay, here I am. I'm yours. I'll go. I'll do what you would have me to do. And I think that's what we all need to recognize, that we need, every one of us. I need it. You need it. Every one of us. We need something from God. We need such a touch from God that we recognize that it's His power, His Spirit, His presence that is upon us that is going to give us the ability to do what we naturally could never do. Amen. He'll give you words when you don't have words. He'll give you courage and boldness when you do not have the boldness. He will touch you by His Spirit, and He'll change you from a person who says, I can't do it, I'm unqualified, I could never do that task, I could never be involved in that ministry, to a person who's touched by God, who is now saying, Lord, okay, here am I, send me. Okay, Lord, send me forth, I'll go. If you want me to do it, Lord, I will go. Amen. And that's what Isaiah did. That's what every one of us need to be willing to do. That there not be those that we are too late to reach them. I've told you this, I know, on several different occasions, but it's very fitting for what I'm talking about here tonight. When we went to Oklahoma to start the church out there, we had a Sunday morning visitation because we were having church in the afternoon. The building that we had rented out there, this was 1982, was a Methodist church building, and so we had to have services on Sunday afternoon in between their services. So on Sunday morning, we had a prayer meeting, and we went out on visitation and talked to people, knocked on doors. A lot of people weren't interested. A lot of people wouldn't give us the time of the day, but on one particular week, there was a man, actually it was his wife first, that came to the door. And as soon as we began to talk to her and to witness to her about the Lord and about coming to the house of God, the tears started flowing down her face. And she came to service that day. And she gave her heart to the Lord. And I don't remember how soon it was. It was real soon, maybe the next week or two after that, that her husband came. And he gave his heart to the Lord. They were the first converts that we had out there in that church. And it was just a few months later that the husband found out, he was 34 years old, found out that he had lung cancer. Not only were they the first converts, but probably, by the best of my memory, probably the first funeral that we had. And we got there just in time. We got there just in time, just a few months, maybe a year, I can't remember exactly, before he died. But we got there. And we went to his door and witnessed to them. And after lots of people who said, no, I'm not interested, shut the door, you know, door after door after door, where they were not interested, finally this little couple came to the door, and their hearts were already ready, and they received the Lord. And that man has been in heaven now for a lot of years. And it's because there were people there who were concerned enough to go to where they were. And that's a responsibility that we have. Every time that you look at the obituary, every time you look at the tragic things that are happening in our community, be reminded of the fact that God's put you where you are for a reason. It's not in vain that we are here. We have a calling. We have a purpose to reach all of these that are in such need. Don't make the mistake of thinking, well, somebody else will talk to them. Someone else will invite them to church. Someone else will be the one that's used. No, that may be true, but it's likely that it won't be true, and that we have a responsibility to go. Amen. To give them some hope, to tell them about the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I just hope that you'll allow the Lord to deal with you about this. This will be in your mind and be on your heart, and you'll be used of the Lord to influence some to come to the Lord Jesus. Amen. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you have put us right where we are for this particular time. And Lord, you know all about our needs, and you know all about our weaknesses and our lack of abilities. But I just pray, Lord, that you will come by your Spirit and you will touch us, Lord, and give us boldness and give us words to speak. Lord, that you're by your Spirit, Lord, that you'll touch our lips and you'll touch our mouths and give us words to speak and the courage to go forth and to reach those that are in need. Oh God, oh Lord, Lord, help us to not be too late for some, but Lord, to step forward and to be there, be available, Lord, to reach as many as we can. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Lord, oh, Lord, oh, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus.